Turning now to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 18. Oh, page 714 in your Schofield Bible. Reading just the 18th verse and then turning to yet another passage in the book of Isaiah. All right, the 18th verse. Let's read it together. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now Isaiah chapter 55, page 762 in your Schofield Bible. Isaiah 55, reading verses 8 and 9. We'll read these verses likewise together. Let's read. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the good day. Thank you that weather-wise it's pleasant, but we have the most pleasant of all circumstances, being here in a place where thou dost meet with us. You've given us thy word. It's eternal, preserved for us. You've given us a man of God who believes thy word, who preaches thy word. You've given us this Christian family. How special it is to be here. We pray that you bless us together, unite our hearts as one, as we listen with purpose to the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you finally admitted it. It's something we have suspicioned all along. Beautiful. It was before I ruined it with that statement. I want to speak this morning on the subject, you cannot reason with God. Well, I know what he said in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. But don't work out. I've never been able to reason with God. He just doesn't make sense. Well, I know Job said, I seek to reason with God, but never worked out. He never did. Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. But I promise you that most of us will never reconcile God's reasoning with our reasoning. You cannot reason with God. Our church has been shaken this week by the untimely death of one of our younger men, leaving a little lovely widow with four children, the oldest being five, and leaving grieving parents who thought that they would precede him to heaven by many years. It's not easy when you say goodbye to the senior saints. It's not easy when you say goodbye to those who served here for all these years, but you sort of expect it when you passed your 70 and you're living on some borrowed time, maybe. It's not easy to say goodbye, but it's normal to say goodbye to the senior saints. But when a tree is felled while it's still budding, before a flower blooms, it's taken. It's and especially someone in the inner circle. It's been a hard week for our church. I hope I can encourage you this morning. You know, let me say it. I'm human like you are. I have my doubts just like you have yours. I wonder like you wonder, and try to figure out God. like you do. I want to take you this morning through a little exercise that I went Wednesday morning, and through which I go every time I have a little doubt in my mind about God being fair. I hope you'll follow me carefully. Father, bless the message today. Our hearts are heavy this morning. We rejoice that there's a heaven, but we're going to miss those who precede us there, and especially one who is such an untimely death. So bless us this morning as we, a church family, sit together, sort of in a funeral home scene today, rejoicing that there's a heaven, rejoicing that Jesus is coming again, rejoicing that our bodies someday shall be like his, and yet grieving because of temporary absence. Bless me as I speak and our people as they listen, please. Amen. This will be quite an unusual message this morning. I stood right here yesterday, and there's a casket here. And in that casket was all that could die of Greg Sigma. I was grieving and I wept as I watched the people come by. I promise you that 3 out of 4 people in this building, I'm guessing 1,500 people were yesterday for that funeral service. And I watched the folks come by. I promise you that at least three out of four of the people that came by, I had shared some heartache with. I just watched as they came and remembered. My mind absolutely got a little tired of just going from one experience to another as the folks came down the aisle. I saw Trina Boyd come. Just a young lady with little children. All of a sudden, Trina Boyd Staten, forgive me, Trina Staten. And I said, I don't understand that, why she's alone. I don't understand why all of a sudden Steve was taken. I don't understand it. I just can't comprehend it. I saw Steve Penley and his wife come by. And Steve, big strapping fella, John Penley and Madeline's son, big strapping fella. And all of a sudden he was taken by an illness that had just racked his body. And I saw his precious wife holding to him as he walked very slowly. The kind of fellow that you'd think could be a giant of strength now, all of a sudden has been weakened by an illness. And there were times we wondered if we would get to keep Steve. And I saw him walk by. And I said, God, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. I saw Don Boyd come by. Looked at his eyes, realizing one of them was real. The other had cancer and was taken. And there's one eye that by which you can see and one eye that we call a glass eye. I don't know a better man than Don Boyd. And I said, I don't understand that. I do not comprehend it. I don't, and in fact, I said to God several times, I just don't agree with you. I just don't understand it. I saw Mr. Staten come by, Steve's father. And I watched him as he took a glance at the face of the body of Greg and remembered just a few weeks ago, he was taking a glance at his own son's body. I thought my heart would absolutely quit beating. I just felt like it being torn out. And I said, dear God, I don't understand that. I can't understand it. Why Steve was taken when those parents are such good, godly people. I don't understand it. I say with the psalmist, why
that the unrighteous prosper and the righteous suffer. I heard two or three people say, why did God take Greg Sickman, let Dennis Rodman live? I asked that question to the fellows in the office this morning. Brother Sisson said, if you were God, which one would you take? So when I can't understand God, I'm coming to you for explanation for it. I watched, and my heart was torn out again as I watched some of the best family come by. I especially saw Chad as he came. Just a few weeks ago, the same place was a box that held his mother. And that's how I understand it. I don't understand why this had to happen. I saw Diane Hammers come by. She was just a young person when I came here, barely out of her teens as she was. Now she's up in years. Although she's fighting cancer. I mean, just constantly. Dr. Streeter back there is helping her. And I understand that. And I said to God, I don't understand it. Just, I saw Tim and Betty McCurdy come by. And I thought of that little boy of theirs who, just as an infant child, was in water, almost drowned. But he lived, but he's been just a vegetable and never responds to anything since. And I don't understand that. I said to God, I watched John Ballinger come by. And I said, I understand that. His dad's over in the prison today for a crime he never committed. Unjustly serving a prison sentence. I don't understand that. I'll be honest, I just don't understand it. And I'm not here to say I'm your pastor this morning and I'm impregnable and I have no doubts at all and you can just come to me and I'll assure. I have to get assurance just like you do. I saw Dan Wolf come by. And I couldn't understand why, as a boy, that arm had to be amputated. And I saw 17, I saw Dee Bockle come by. And her son, just a few years ago, taken in the early years of his life, first place injured by a chemical accident, and then taken so prematurely. And I said, God, I just don't understand it. And now Bessie Parr this morning, every day, I told Miss Hyles, Wednesday morning, I said, I wish we had a little church with just a few people. Every day we go through it. Every day. I just wish somehow we didn't have a big church. And I mean, Thursday I got a call from Charleston, South Carolina that Brother Mike Haynes was hemorrhaging from the abdomen and the rest of the hospital had surgery. And then the next day, I wasn't at the office till I got a call, said, please call Brother Randy Tedder. And I found that my good friend Joe Boyd, who had just had open heart bypass surgery a few weeks ago. Now he has kidney cancer. Tomorrow morning, they'll operate at Mayo Clinic on his throat, and they think it may be cancerous, and there's 50% chance he'll never preach again. I don't understand it. What a great Christian Joe Boyd is. Over a half a century traveling up and down the country, doing nothing but trying to get people saved. I just stood here, and I said, I just don't understand it. I look at Miss Whitehouse over here. I understand why her husband was shot in cold-blooded murder. I don't understand that. I see Mr. Laurent down here. God bless him. He just keeps on going. But my soul, the man has suffered. I see Mr. Heatherly over here. I understand why his wife was taken and he sits there beside where she used to be. I understand that. Let me tell you this morning, and this is more of a fireside chat than it is a sermon. A grieving preacher wants to talk to his grieving people for a while. Let me tell you a little exercise I go through when I face it. I did this, as I said, Wednesday morning. When I come to a place that I don't understand God, and I too have doubts, number one, I accept the fact that God and I don't always agree. I accept it. I'm not going to stand here this morning and say I'm such a spiritual giant that I just immediately trust God. I do not immediately say to God, you know what you're doing. Sometimes I say to God, I wonder if you do know what you're doing, but there's a little exercise I go through. And by the way, I go through this every week and sometimes every day. Number one, I said, I accept the fact that I don't agree with God, and I don't. I said in a sermon a few weeks ago, I said, I don't agree with God when God killed Achan and his family. Achan took a garment that wasn't supposed to take, took a little wedge of gold, a little money he shouldn't have taken, and God had the people take Achan and his wife and his children out and stoned them all to death. I just don't agree with that. I said in that same sermon, I don't agree with God concerning taking the wife of Lot's wife. All she did was look back. I've looked back a lot of times. She just looked back. That's all she did. But God took her. I don't agree with God letting Satan afflict Job. Now, I really don't understand that one. I don't understand why God would allow Satan, a dirty, stinking, rotten devil, to afflict Job and take his 10 children and take his health and take his wealth and take the loyalty of his wife and put him in the ash heap with leprosy. I don't understand it. And I accept the fact that God and I don't always agree. I don't understand Rahab being in Hebrews 11, dirty harlot in Hebrews 11. I don't understand Peter preaching on Pentecost 50 days after he cursed and sworn, denied the Lord, denied the faith, and denied the church. I don't understand calling David a man after God's own heart after what he did. Or God killing Ananias and Sapphira because they didn't give all of the price of the land. Or I don't understand why God chose three murderers to write four elevenths of the Bible. I don't understand that. I don't understand why God took Steve, Satan. I don't understand why Steve Penn has been ill. I don't understand why Don Boyd has one eye. I don't understand why Mr. Satan has lost his son. I don't understand why the Sigma family, especially dear Michelle, had to say goodbye to Greg and four little children. Five is the oldest child. I don't understand it. I don't understand why Mr. Ballinger's in jail today. I don't understand why Tim and Betty McCurdy have to go through what they go through, or why Diane Hammers has cancer, or why Dan Wolf has only one arm, or why Dee Buckle lost her son, or Randy Erickson has gone through the hell that he's been through, or Bessie Parr has cancer, or Joe Boyd is facing serious surgery tomorrow, or Mrs. Whitehouse's husband was murdered, or Mr. Lorenz been so ill, or Mr. Heatherly lost his wife. I don't understand that, and I accept the fact. Second step I do after I accept the fact I don't agree with God. I flee to Isaiah 55. I read it probably 50 times since last Wednesday morning. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So once I've accepted the fact that I don't agree with God, then I accept the fact that God's thoughts are not mine. God doesn't logic like I logic. I don't logic like he logics. God doesn't reason like I reason. God says, come now, let us reason together. And I draw up to God and I say, okay, let's do it. And God starts talking. I say, I don't understand that. And I start talking and God says, I don't understand that either. And that's what Job said when he said, if I just had a daysman, somebody that knew God, understood him and knew me and understood me, if I just had a daysman reach down and take my hand, reach up and take God's hand, well, bless God, there was such a one. And that such a one was Jesus Christ, who was God and man. He knows the heart of deity and knows the heart of flesh. And God reaches up with one hand the deity and another hand the flesh. And Jesus is that daysman. And then he says, neither are my ways your ways. Now God and I have a conflict. We don't agree. We don't agree why Michelle sat there yesterday morning. We don't agree. We have a conflict because his thinking is different from mine and my logic is different from his. And I cannot reason with him because I am incapable with this human mind to reason with a mind of deity. I don't understand it. But neither are my ways, Isaiah said. Neither are your ways my ways. We don't act the same way. We don't sing the same tune. We don't march to the same cadence. Now follow me carefully. first thing I do is admit that God and I have a conflict. I admit that I can't see it like He can see it. Secondly, I find that His ways are above my ways, and His thoughts are above my thoughts as far as the heavens are above the earth. So then I say, okay, if I down here think one way and God up there thinks another way, if I down here logic one way and God up here logics another way, if I down here reason one way and God up there reasons another way, I say to myself, and this is my exercise to go through, I wonder who's right. If omniscience disagrees with ignorance, I wonder who's right. If omnipotence disagrees with weakness, I wonder who's right. If omnipresence disagrees with location, I wonder who's right. And so I say, I admit, I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. It doesn't look fair to me. But you know, you agree, you think one way, I think another. And so I say, I wonder who's right. And then I come to the conclusion that He who knows all is right, and he who knows little is wrong. And then I run to Proverbs 16:20, which says, he whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. You know who the miserable folks are? Folks that can't understand God and think they're right and He's wrong. You know who the happy folks are? Folks that don't understand God think He's right and we're wrong. Now, I do this every week and all, sometimes every day of the week. I did it Wednesday when I heard of Greg Sickman's death. You understand? Three weeks ago this morning, he and his lovely wife stood in my office. He'd gone down to get some insurance. He felt great, owned his own business, had no forewarning at all, no pain, no suffering, no weakness. Went down to take a physical because he wanted to get an insurance policy and found out that he had a recurrence of what he had a dozen years ago. I did it Thursday morning when I heard about Mike Haynes. I did it Friday morning when I heard about Joe Boyd. And I did it a while ago in my office when I heard about Bessie Parr. First, I realized the fact that I don't always agree with God. Second, I fled to Isaiah 55:8-9 and found that His thoughts are above my thoughts as far as the heavens are from the earth, and His ways are above my ways as far as the heaven is from the earth. And then I must choose who is right. And I say, is He who knows everything right? Or am I, with this little finite knowledge I have, right? I'm saying, is He who made me right? Or am I who was made? Is the Creator right? Or the created right? I've got some wonderful news. The Creator is right. And I don't understand it, but I'm happy. I'm happy because my God is omnipotent, all-powerful. I'm happy because my God is omniscient. He knows everything. I'm happy because my God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. I'm happy because He has the best vantage point. I'm happy because God's thoughts are above my thoughts and His ways are above my ways. I'm glad. I'm happy because He knows the beginning and the end. He knows the beginning from the end. He was from the beginning, and He makes the beginning and the end, and hallelujah, He is the beginning, and He is the end. Now, may I tell you something I've learned in the last few months? I've always, times like this, and I want you to do the same thing this morning. I can't set you at ease, but I can tell you a little formula that will set you at ease. Admit that you and God don't see eye to eye. Realize that his thoughts are not your thoughts, and his ways are not your ways, but his thoughts are as far above yours as the heaven from the earth, and so are his ways. And then accept the fact that you've got to choose who's right, an omnipotent creator or a weak, limited creation, and then stop and realize that he is right, and then trust in him and run to Proverbs 16:20. Who told trust in the Lord, happy is he, and then get happy, and then I'll always, through the years, have begun to sing this little song. I wish I could sing. I wish you could too. I wish I could sing. I'd love to sing right now the little song I sing. We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over. And I've sung this song hundreds of times through the years when I've heard about a sadness. We'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the reason. I'll ask why Greg was taken. I'll ask why Trina is a widow. I'll ask why Don Boyd has just one eye. I'll ask why Mr. Staten lost a son and the Sickmas lost a son. I'll ask why Tim and Betty McCurdy, practically for all practical purposes, lost that little boy. Or A.V. Ballinger's in prison today wrongly. Or Dan Wolf only has one arm. Or Mrs. DeBacco lost a son. Or Joe Boyd is facing cancer surgery. Mrs. Parr has cancer. I'll ask the reason. You'll tell me why. When we talk it over in the by and by. But I changed that recently. Listen to me again. Now, I'm going to shout here in a minute. But I changed that. I don't think that song's right. I don't agree with that part that says, I'll ask the reason. He'll tell me why. Because I don't think I'll ask the reason. And I don't think he'll tell me why. You say, what are you talking about? He won't have to tell me why. Because when I see him, I'll think like he thinks. I'll figure it out by myself. Thank you. I won't need you. I won't ask the reason. He won't have to tell me why. I will think then like he thinks. I will knowledge then, logic then, like he logics. I'll reason then like he reasons, and I won't be in heaven that long before all these answers will not come from him. They'll come from my mind, which is the mind of Christ himself. This last few months, after I've gone through my little formula of admitting that God and I don't agree, and then fled to Isaiah 55:8, where it says, his thoughts are above my thoughts, as high as the heaven is above us, and his ways are not my ways. They're as high above mine, as high as the heaven is above me. Then I reason the fact that I've got to choose my reasoning or his. I've got to choose my logic or his. I've got to choose my thinking or his. And I decide to choose his. And then I turn to Proverbs 16:20, where it says, whoso trusts in the Lord shall be happy. Happy is he. And then I understand it and I get happy. And I'll tell you the song I sing now. I don't sing, we'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the reason. He'll tell me why. I don't sing that anymore. I sing, trials dark on every hand, and we may not understand all the way that God doth lead us to the blessed promised land. And then he goes on to say, we'll understand it better by and by. Brother, when I die, I got a heap of questions I want to ask, but I'll forget them when I get there. And if I look, here's Jesus coming to me, and I'll say, hey, Jesus, I got to forget it. I got your mind now. I think like you think. I reason like you reason. I logic like you logic. You don't have to tell me. Now I can figure out why that little lady sat there yesterday morning and why those parents sat there with an empty heart and that little lady that was the first dwelling place of that boy and the first eating place of that boy and that man who had told his son about life, they had to say goodbye and that the fellow sits in a wheelchair back there crippled for life, no doubt. And that little lady has cancer back there and that lady's husband was ruthlessly murdered back there. I will not have to hear you tell me why. I'll know why, because I shall awake in his likeness and think like he thinks and logic like he logics and reason like he reasons. Glory to God. So I'll sing this morning in my heart, not will ask the reason. And I can't look anywhere without seeing people. I see Joe back there wondering about his life, and I'm sure he's wondered time and time again. Joe Marhowski, I'm sure he's wondered time and time again. Maybe, will I be the next one? I don't think he will. But I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I think I'm just going to trust him. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Church family, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Let's together this morning go through this. In your own mind, admit that you don't always agree with God. I called Ed Lapina's house early Wednesday morning. Jamie answered the phone. I could tell she was weeping. I called to see if she had any details. But the first thing she said was, preacher, I showed me a note after it. She said she was good to hear your voice this morning. I needed to hear it. And then she said, thank you that for all these years you taught us to trust God. His way is the best way. So let's go through our little formula. Let's all right now just admit we don't understand. Let's just admit it. Let's admit that we cannot reason with God. Now let's go further. Let's go together to Isaiah 55:8. And let's look at our thoughts and look at his. And look at our ways and look at his. Admitting that they differ, who shall we trust? Omnipotence or weakness? Omniscience or ignorance? The Creator or the created? Now together we've been admitted to admit our doubts. Together we have looked at him and realized that we can't think like he can think, or reason or logic like he does. Now together, what do you say we do this? Let's put our trust in him. Let's believe he's right. And then we run to Proverbs 16:20. The Bible said, whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. And so this morning, let's get real happy. Happy that there's a heaven. Happy that God knows what he's doing. And then let's realize, as we continue, let's realize that we'll figure it out ourselves.